Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabalava Giri Manodari Jasodanana Rajajanaranjana Jasodanana Rajajanaranjana Jamunate Ravanachari Ajamunate Ravanachari Ajaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banadari Jasura Nanana Rajajanaranjana Jamunate Ravanachari Jamunate Ravanachari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Nitya Lila Pravista Astatara Satasisi Manista Vangresa Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem Sikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita. Radha Sham Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shama Kundarada Kundigina Govardhan Ki Jai Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Mishra Mahotsava Ki Jai Gaura Bhimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 14th, Text Number 28. Ashanti yasya charitam hi durbhaga. Svatnam ratasaya vidusha samhitam. Yari Vastra Malya Bara Nanu Lepanai S Svabhojanam svatmantayo palalitam. Hasyanti yascha, hasyanti yasya charitam hidurbhaga. Svatmam ratasaya vidusha samhi samhihitam. Yarvastra malya bharananulepanai. Svabhojanam svatmatalayo. Svabhojanam svatmatayo palalitam. Hasyanti yasya charitam hidurbhaga. Svatmam ratasya vidusha samhihitam. Yarvastra malya bharananulepanai. Svabhojanam svatmatayo palalitam. Shanti as charita dam kai Svatmam ratasya vidusha samhitam Yavastra malya bharananulepanai Svabhojanam svatmatayo palalitam. Asanti yasya charitam vidurbhagam. Asanti yasya charitam vidurbhagam. Hasanti, laugh at, yasya, whose, archuritam, activity, he, certainly, durbhaga, the unfortunate, svaatmam, in the self, ratasya, of one engaged, adivrusha, not knowing, samihitam, his purpose, yaya, by whom, vastra, clothing, malya, garlands, abharana, ornaments, anu, such luxurious, lipanai, with ointments, svabhojanam, edible by the dogs. Svaatmataya, as if the self. Upalalitam, fondled. Translation. Unfortunate, foolish persons, not knowing that he is engaged in his own self, laugh at him. Such foolish persons engage in maintaining the body, which is edible by the dogs, with dresses, ornaments, garlands, and ointments, Of course, the he in this verse is referring to Lord Shiva, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva never accepts any luxurious dress, garland, ointment, or ornament. But those who are addicted to the decoration of the body, which is finally edible by dogs, very luxuriously maintain it as the self. Such persons do not understand Lord Shiva, but they approach him for luxurious material comforts. There are two kinds of devotees of Lord Shiva. One class is the gross materialist seeking only bodily comforts from Lord Shiva, and the other class desires to become one with him. They are mostly impersonalists and prefer to chant Shiva Aham, I am Shiva, or after liberation, I shall become one with Shiva. In other words, the Karmis and the Gyanis are generally devotees of Lord Shiva, but they do not properly understand his real purpose in life. Sometimes, so-called devotees of Lord Shiva imitate him in using poisonous intoxicants. Lord Shiva once swallowed an ocean of poison, and thus his throat turned blue. The imitation Shivas try to follow him by indulging in poisons, and thus they are ruined. The real purpose of Lord Shiva is to serve the soul of the soul, Lord Krishna. Soul capital of the soul, not capital, Lord Krishna. He desires that all luxurious articles, such as nice garments, garlands, ornaments, and cosmetics, be given to Lord Krishna only, because Krishna is the real enjoyer. He refuses to accept such luxurious items because they are only meant for Krishna. However, since they do not know the purpose of Lord Shiva, foolish persons either laugh at him or profitlessly try to imitate him. Profitlessly, in other words, with no result. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Janjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmalita Minatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangumlam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Vancha Kapatirubhischa Kripa Sindhu Behebacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss, because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. That last line of that last prayer there, served by everyone, always, nitya seva. Of course, that famous verse from the beginning of the Bhagavatam, nitya seva. So this is our eternal duty to speak and serve and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's interesting, the lineup of festivities, as Mother Mukhi was mentioning, went quite late into the night, and for those of us that were engaged in some pujari service, by the time we got home and sat down to eat that incredible feast she was describing, it was 9 o'clock. And it was one of those, I'll just take a bite of each thing just to honor it and then take rest. And you took that bite, it's like, oh my God. And before you knew it, 9:30 comes around and you've just finished a full feast plate. Not the most intelligent thing to do at 9:30 at night if you're planning to get up early and come to give Bhagavatam class the next day. So as I'm looking at the notes I've put together, other thoughts are running through my brain. So with the blessings of the Vaishnava and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I'll make an attempt to speak on a few of these things. So we just recently here in our community and in the Vaishnava community observed the festival of Shivratri. And much was spoken about Lord Shiva, about his glories, about worshiping Lord Shiva by the Vaishnavas. This is, Prabhupada doesn't go into that in this particular purport, but the Vaishnavas understand the importance of Lord Shiva's position in its true actuality, not from the point of view of, as Prabhupada says, the Gyanis and Karmis who are looking for fruitive results or looking to merge with Lord Shiva, but from the point of view, as the phrase is, Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu, that he is the greatest devotee of Lord Vishnu. We always see pictures of Lord Shiva. He's in one of two general poses. One, by himself in a completely meditative trance with his eyes closed. And we know that in that trance, he's completely meditating upon Lord Vishnu. And this is the example that has earned him a position as one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 famous personalities who give us the standard of devotional service. Much conversation and discussion has been there also on his pastimes, as mentioned by Sanatana Goswami Pad in his Brihat Bhagavatamrita, as one who is the recipient of the Lord's mercy. I spoke on this the last time I gave the class. And so for those of us following the Vaishnava line of teachings of theology, we can understand that Lord Shiva has a very exalted position, and because he is a Vaishnava, he's suitable to be worshipped. This is the position of a devotee, is that we understand our good fortune comes when we worship other devotees. This is why Prabhupada has given us the Prabhu to address each other. You are my master, I'm your servant. This is why we open our correspondence to each other. Please accept my humble obeisances. And then we add all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, nowadays, sometimes that becomes Pamho Gesft in our shortened nature. We have a tendency to shorten everything. You know, I have, there are some friends of the family whose name has become half of what the full name is, then it's become a half of that syllable of the full name. You know, Prabhupada spoke on this in the early days. There was a reference to Brahmananda Prabhu, who, as we, those of us that knew Brahmananda, he was quite a healthy-sized individual. I could tell so many stories, but anyway, let's stay on track. At any rate, they referred to him as the Big B. And Prabhupada heard this and very quizzically said, Big B? No, he is Brahmananda Prabhu. So this whole idea that we have of shortening things is not necessarily so beneficial. Acronyms. You know, where I work, they're very, very fond of acronyms. You know, every system that we have has an acronym. And there's actually an entire list that you're given of acronyms that you should know, because everything's shortened. We do not want to shorten our process of devotional service. I mean, yesterday was a perfect example of that. You know, just everything went on in full detail. All the different, well, this year we won't do this. It was a little much last year. Oh, we'll skip this. Let's just do less of that. No, everything goes on. At the fire juggle last night, we threw in an additional 108 names to the 108 names of Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, we're not looking to shorten. We're looking to increase. Therefore, this full understanding of what Lord Shiva's position is very important for us. And in that mood, it's considered an offense to disrespect a devotee. What to speak of an exalted devotee like Lord Shiva, one of the 12 Mahajans, it's considered an offense just amongst our ordinary dealings. This is something we have to deal with in our path of devotional service, and this is something deeply warned against by all of our acharyas, very prominently by Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that we should not engage in bad words. Kukata, as the third canto calls it. Kukata matigni, bad words that kill the intelligence. So this idea that you know, we see a devotee and begin to criticize their activities or laugh about how they appear or what they're doing, this is not appropriate. This is not, this is what's going on in this verse, and it's being spoken against. Now, Prabhupada distinguishes here that there are two types of followers of Lord Shiva. As he says, one class is the gross materialist seeking bodily comforts, and the other class desire to become one with him. And we can understand that neither of these two truly understand the position of the personality they're worshiping, Lord Shiva. And this is not so uncommon. It's very difficult for a conditioned soul, one struggling with the six senses, which include the mind, to be able to understand fully a higher personality. What to speak of these foolish materialistic persons trying to understand the position of Lord Shiva? Because to understand Lord Shiva's position, which is to negate material life and embrace meditation upon Lord Vishnu and the activities that go with that, it's very difficult for them to understand it because they're absorbed in the body. They're absorbed in their impersonal understanding. So this is the minimal position of these worshipers, the very, very neophyte, very, very Madhyam Adhikari. I'm not Madhyam, I'm sorry. Kanishta Adhikari, we would say. You know, not properly understanding. But then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada denotes a third type of follower of Lord Shiva, the intoxicant taker. Or as Prabhupada says, Prabhupada very nicely says it here, poisonous intoxications. Now, someone may offer the rebuttal, well, it's not poisonous. I'm not taking, you know, crack or cocaine or heroin or whatever like that. I'm just smoking a little ganja, you know, so it's not that. But no, Prabhupada makes the point, all intoxication is poisonous because it dilutes our intelligence, it dilutes our sense of conviction, it dilutes our sense of morality, it dilutes our sense of focus. So he refers to this as poisonous intoxicants. Now, I remember in 1987 when I was walking with Padayatra in the month of May from Rishikesh to Badrinath, we crossed paths on that journey with so many so-called Shivites who were very deep in their Chilam meditation. A couple of points I remember, myself, Achyuta, Kormarupa, and one or two others, we were taking a break on the side of the roadway path up to Badrinath, and a group of such so-called sadhus decided they would take a break there also, just next to us. And as they sat down to take their break, they all pulled out their chilams, and they pulled out their little stashes, as we would call it, stashes. I used that word to one of the pujaris I was working with in the Abhishek. I said, stash that over there. Stash it? What do you mean stash it? No, hide it, hide it. So they would pull out this little thing and stuff it in and then begin there. And they have a very interesting way of holding that. Not like anybody would hold a cigarette, but anyway. And began producing very thick, you could say fragrant or disgusting, depending on your particular mode, of clouds of smoke. And the handful of us looked at each other and very quickly made our retreat to someplace else. And they were very, very satisfied that we were, they actually got a smile on their face when we got up to leave, and they understood it was because of what they were doing. So now it's interesting because all along that path, walking from Rishikesh to Badrinath, at least back then, I haven't been there in a couple of decades, but there's ganja growing wild all along the roadside. And Korma and myself were kind of joking, you know, had we been walking this path 20 years earlier, we might have had a different focus in, or it would have taken us a little longer to get to the end of it. So fortunately, we'd given up all these wild desires. But the point is that these personalities, they consider, well, Lord Shiva has taken some poison, and so therefore we're taking also because it assists in our meditation and all that like this. So they can delude themselves with so many different things, but we understand that the absorption of these different types of Prabhupada's words, poisonous intoxicants, are not beneficial. Of course, we all know the story in the early days, because Srila Prabhupada's appearance in America in the mid-60s was at the height of the LSD impact in our American culture amongst the young people. And Prabhupada was asked, can LSD assist in our spiritual life? Prabhupada's response was, your spiritual life has already begun. This is unnecessary. Not required at all, you know, so. So these imitation followers who, you know, take these things, they're not actually advancing in spiritual life. They may, no doubt, externally manifest some type of renunciation, some type of disentanglement from certain aspects of material life. But as Prabhupada says here, they're all ruined because of this absorption and intoxication. Now, another point that Prabhupada makes here is in regards to those who are addicted to decorating the body very luxuriously. The decoration of the body very luxuriously that we should be addicted to is manifest right here. I mean, we were discussing just in the announcements there, Mukhi was saying about all the beautiful decorations on yesterday's Sringar, and then we turn right around today and it's just as amazing. I mean, you can't even count all the colors in the outfits that the lords are wearing this morning. And the complimentary flowers and the making of the garlands with, I don't know, I'm just counting just off the top of my head, 7 or 8 different flowers in the garlands. All of this is what we can become addicted to the luxury of. Now, just recently in our Western culture, we passed what's called the awards season. Many of you will have no idea about this, and that's very wonderful. But the awards season is a time when those in the acting, theater, television, production, and making of all of these things give awards to themselves for their contribution to bettering society. Now, each of these award ceremonies, and I think there's 5 or 6, or maybe 6 or 7, something like that, each of them starts with an elaborate red carpet presentation in which the participants all enter into the forum, the arena, the hall where this will all be going on, just dressed, you know, usually quite over the top, and in some cases quite ridiculously than an ordinary person would wear this in any day of life. And then there is an equally focused group of observers and interviewers that detail every aspect of these persons and what they're wearing and who is provided and so on and so on and so on. And then the next morning, many different knockoff manufacturers have taken these looks and tried to make them available to the common people so that they can also copy this so-called style of the latest rage. And as I say, some of these things are just ridiculous to assume an ordinary human being would ever wear them in public. But this is what's referred to as people addicted to decorating the body very luxuriously. And it's not just clothing. Of course, they have many different types of jewels and ornaments and lotions and fragrances and all of these things. And all of this is done simply to promote the fact that here I am. Take a look. This is the best it gets. And people that think like that, Prabhupada makes it very clear. You know, simply food for the dogs. Food for the dogs. Because ultimately, that's what happens. Now, in that regards, there are different types of manners in which the body is disposed of. At the time of death, some cultures cremate the body. Some cultures bury the body. Some cultures just throw the body out into the field, whatever, to be devoured literally by the dogs or the vultures. Some cultures wrap the body up and put them up on lofty pedestals to be remembered. So all of these types of processes have to do with thinking that the body is something worth protecting, you know, preserving, keeping in mind, and still maintaining. But in reality, this body is simply the vehicle. It is not meant to have any long-term effect. You know, we all have our cars here, and some of us, you know, we've been driving the same car for 20 years. And eventually that car is going to give out. Eventually the return compared to the required investment to maintain that vehicle is no longer suitable. All right, it's just not worth it anymore. I can't put any more money into this car, you know, so I'm going to get rid of it. And very intelligently, we get rid of such a vehicle, selling it to somebody that will pay whatever for it, or putting it in a junkyard or whatever. And then we get a new one. And that new one doesn't have the pitfalls and difficulties of the vehicle we just got rid of. And we think, okay, now things are very good. Everything's nice again. And that's exactly the scenario on having this body. You know, eventually this body just does not become worth the necessity of what it takes to maintain it. And the soul says, all right, I'm gone. Leaves the body and then takes up another residence. And we think, oh, now I got a nice new one. Let's do this again. Sometimes you see these baby pictures when the kids are born and the look on the face is like, oh my God, not again. You know, you've all seen it, the look on that little baby's face. It's like, oh God, here I am again. I thought I was done with this, you know. So, you know, in this way, we have to understand what is the real effect. And Prabhupada really hits home with this phrase here. Unaware that their decorated bodies are suitable to be eaten by the dogs. Now, that's a real slap in the face. You could say a royal slap in the face, you know. Oh, you're very attached to your body. Oh, you've got this outfit that no one can imagine what in the world it is you've wrapped around yourself today. Oh, you do know you're going to be eaten by dogs, right? So, at any rate, so as Vaishnavas, all of these types of mentalities we set to the side and we focus on what is the real goal of Lord Shiva's instructions and his example. And that is, the real purpose of Lord Shiva is to serve the soul of the souls, Lord Krishna. He desires that all luxurious articles, all nice garments, garlands, ornaments, and cosmetics be given to Lord Krishna only, because Krishna is the real enjoyer. He refuses to accept such luxuries himself because they are only meant for Krishna. So this is his level of renunciation. His followers worship him generally for great benefit, great material results, but he himself wears a deer skin or a tiger skin, lives under a tree, doesn't have a big fancy palace. Some of the other Mahajans that we know of, they're great universal leaders and have big residences and servants. And Lord Shiva is very simply just living under this tree in, you know, simple cloth, and refuses to have on any of these types of ornaments that we may offer for the worship of Radha Shyam Sundar like this, because he understands this is who they're meant for. Now, interestingly enough, there are statements from different shastras about how a householder particularly should present themselves in nice dress, with being having a fragrant smell to them, taking care of their body nicely, but this isn't at the cost of their spiritual life. An avaduta can go into public dressed dirtily and maybe bathing, maybe not, quite likely smelling probably, and like this. But for the social mixing of those in the household order, some attention to these details is there. But when that attention to these details supersedes the reality of our spiritual position, this is when it becomes a problem. As Prabhupada says here, addicted to decorating the body very luxuriously. If one does it out of a sense of duty, a sense of, you know, responsibility, that's one thing. If one does it out of a sense of, you know, trying to promote this body as the real goal, then that's when it becomes an issue. So this mood of Lord Shiva, this is what qualifies him as a Mahajan. So today we're also celebrating the festival of Jagannath Mishra. This festival is the actual celebration that would be taking place this morning to honor the birth of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Mahaprabhu made his appearance late in the evening, the festival honoring him would be the next day. There's a big celebration, but you know, Mahaprabhu appeared quite late in the evening, and so how to arrange all that at night like that? So Jagannath Mishra arranged for it the next morning. Now it's interesting, in all the biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether it be the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangala, or Murari Gupta's Kadacha, there's no elaborate explanation of this pastime. There's little hints of it, there's some small details, but we can understand from these few verses I've selected here that this festival was observed. And so we'll read some selections from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat on this subject. This is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Relatives and friends hurried to see the newborn child. Sri Jagannath Mishra's house was a scene of great exhalation. Srimati Sachidevi's father, Sri Nilambar Chakravarti, found esoteric and wonderful signs in the house of the child's astrological chart. Sri Chakravarti was astonished by the baby's beauty and saw all divine symbols on his person. A much accepted prophecy in Bengal was that someday a king would be born into a Brahmin's son, as a son of a Brahmin, so that Sri Chakravarti thought that only the future would prove whether this was that child. Now, of course, we know that ultimately Mahaprabhu's life and his purpose proved that, yes, he was that personality. In the presence of all, Sri Nilambara Chakravarti, an expert astrologer, began explaining the ramifications of different astrological signs in the Lord's chart. Now this, here again, by looking at the detail and making some assumptions, we can see that this would have taken place the next morning. The child would have been born late at night, the time would have been noted, the astrology, the charts, the planets, and then Nilambar Chakravarti would have spent some time calculating this chart. For those of you that are familiar with astrology, this isn't something you look on and okay, here's what it means. No, you have to spend some time cultivating it. Just like when a Purohit gets asked to do a puja for someone, some time is spent calculating what is the proper muhurta, what is the proper day, what is the proper, all these details. So this would have been there, and then the following day during Jagannath Mishra's Mahotsava, Nilambar Chakravarti would have shared all these findings with the assembled Vaishnavas there and the family particularly. The further he delved into the child's exalted chart, the more difficult he found in describing the Lord's position. And very understandable. This child will conquer Brihaspati, and he will be a great scholar. He will be a natural repository for all divine qualities. Present in that gathering was the great saints in the guise of Brahmins who made predictions about the Lord's future. The Brahmin said, "This child is the Supreme Lord Narayana himself. He will establish the essence of all religion. He will initiate a wonderful preaching movement and deliver the entire world. He will give everyone that which is forever desirable, even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Srila Sukadev Goswami. Forever desirable." That's a wonderful description there. "Upon seeing him, people will feel compassion for all living entities and become callous towards material pains and joys. This will be the great benediction for the entire world. Not to mention ordinary men, even hardcore atheists will worship this child's lotus feet." Even hardcore atheists. "He will be glorified through the entire creation, and people from all orders of life will come to worship him." So that verse right there gives the indication of Lord Chaitanya superseding the so-called caste system. The people from all orders of life, all ashrams, they would come and worship him. "He is the personification of pure Bhagavat religion, the benefactor of the brahmanas, the benefactor of the cows and devotees, and the affectionate devoted son of his parents. This child has come to accomplish great works, just as the Supreme Lord Narayana incarnated to reestablish religious principles. Who can explain the understanding of this child's exalted astrological and esoteric bodily symptoms? How fortunate you are, Sri Jagannath Mishra, a leader amongst men. I offer my obeisances to you, the illustrious father of this child. This is something that is a suitable point to make note of, that when there is a wonderful child like this, well, it's understood, as we say in America, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, so that the parents must also have some illustrious benefit. I feel greatly fortunate that I am able to calculate this child's astrological chart. His name, accordingly, will be Sri Vishwambara. When the child is born, there are four indicated ways for choosing the name for the child. By the particular constellation the child is born under, one takes the first syllable of that constellation and works from that. By the particular astrological sign that the child is born, one takes the first syllable and works from that. By a name given by an elder member in the family, one can go from there, or by a particular chosen name of the parents. Excuse me. He will be known to all as Navadvip Chandra, the moon of Navadvip. He is spiritual bliss personified. The Brahmin did not speak any further about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes of accepting the renounced order of life, because that would disturb the loving emotion of his parents. This shows how intelligent this Brahmin was. Oh, very nice boy you have here. He's going to become a sannyasi and walk away and leave you both. he did not say anything about that, you know. It says he did not want to disturb the loving emotions of the parents. Sri Jagannath Mishra was enthralled with ecstasy over the descriptions of his son. Who wouldn't be? He immediately wanted to offer gifts to the Brahmin. This is an appropriate statement here, because when a Brahmin does some particular service to a family, dakshina is given. He was a poor man with few possessions. This is the only reading where I've ever seen describing Jagannath Mishra as a poor man. Yet, feeling great jubilation, he fell at the Brahmin's feet and cried, O Brahmana, Hari, Hari, Hari! And he gave great gifts to the Brahmin. The relatives and friends were all giving praise to the child, and they blessed him as they heard the supernatural predictions about his future. Soon the musicians arrived. Now, this also, to my thinking, indicates that this was the next morning, because the baby's born at night, the mother's tired from the birth, and then you get musicians coming in the middle of the night making a lot of, you know, kirtan and noise. So in the morning. Come back tomorrow morning. So soon the musicians arrived playing their respective instruments like clay drums, flutes, and shanais, and filled the air with much wonderful music. Ladies from the higher planets mingled freely, yet unnoticed, with the ladies from the earth in this wonderful gathering. We never know who's sitting next to us. The mother of the demigods, Aditi, smiled and placed her right hand with the auspiciousness, and holding grass and paddy indicates a type of rice, on the child's head to bless him with a long life. Please remain eternally in this material world and manifest your pastimes. Now, for those of us who are materially entangled, such a benediction. I remember one time I was with Indradyumna Swami and Badahari Prabhu, and we were in Dnepropetrovsk, Ukraine. And the temple, right next to the temple on the same property, is a duplex, and the devotees live in one side, and the other side is an old babushka, we would say, old Ukrainian woman, quite elderly at the time, and not a devotee, but, you know, she had been there forever, whatever. I don't know the particular arrangement, but we went to visit her, as was the custom. We would always stop and visit this lady when we visited the temple there. And as we were leaving, Mara said, "May you live a long life." And she looked up and said, "You know, at my age, that's not really a benediction." So, but in this case, long life, they're requesting the Lord, you eternally manifest your pastimes in this world. How wonderful that would be. Srimati Sachi Devi and the others noticed the extraordinary beauty of these ladies, but they hesitated to inquire about their identity. Prabhupada describes in some places in the Bhagavatam the beauty of the women in the heavenly planets is beyond anything we can imagine. At different times, Prabhupada said different things. At one time, he said the women of the Middle East are the most beautiful. And then another time, he said the women from here or there. You know, he's depending on where he happened to be. Oh, these are my favorite deities. And, you know, and wherever he was, that was his favorite deity. So, but the demigoddesses are very, very beautiful beyond anybody's understanding. The demigods themselves respectfully took the dust from Sachidevi's feet and she lost her speech in extreme satisfaction. Neither the Vedas nor Lord Anantasesh can describe the waves of jubilation that followed Sri Jagannath Mishra, that drowned Sri Jagannath Mishra's house. Entire district of Nadia seemed to be present at Sachidevi's house to experience that indescribable joy. So this festival that Jagannath Mishra arranged, everybody came. I mean, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 guests last night. I was thinking about that as I was walking through the crowd after we finished the Farajaga. Here this is, a Thursday night, middle of the week for all practical purpose, in some little podunk town in the middle of America called Alachua. And we've got 2,000 guests show up to honor Lord Chaitanya. Oh, so wonderful were the Lord's pastimes. Now, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have some similar descriptions. All sorts of respectable Brahmin gentlemen and ladies carrying plates filled with various gifts came with their presentations. Seeing the newborn child, whose form resembled natural glaring gold, all of them happily offered their obeisances. Dressing themselves as the wives of Brahmanas, all the celestial ladies, including the wives of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Narsingadev, King Indra, and Vashishta Rishi, along with Rumba, one of the dancing girls of heaven, all came to offer different gifts. As I read that, I thought to myself, how did that particular dancing girl get picked? There are very many dancing girls in the heavenly planets. Maybe she was particularly well-developed in the dancing skill and the best of monks. All right, you come with us. We're going to see Mahaprabhu, who has made his appearance. Would you like to come? Yes, you come. So somehow or another, this particular dancing girl is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the outer space, all the demigods, including the inhabitants of Gandharvaloka, Siddhaloka, and Charanaloka, offered their prayers and danced to the accompaniment of music, songs, and the beating of drums. Similarly, in Navadvip City, all the professional dancers, musicians, and blessers gathered together, dancing in great jubilation. Interesting third party there. The dancers and the musicians, but the blessers too. What's your job? Oh, I give blessings. Now, if you ask somebody, oh, what do you do? Oh, I give blessings. Well, that's rather arrogant of you. I'm the one that gives all the blessings. Well, I've got blessings to give? No, but they're acting on behalf of the Lord. They're like at the beginning of the Homa, we ask the participants to say, Tatastu. Yes, so be it. They're giving blessings, yes, you can do this ceremony. So in the same way, the blessings are being given by these individuals. No one could understand who was coming and who was going. Just like last night, there was no, oh, is so-and-so still here? No, I think they might have left. Well, maybe somebody came, you know, so much back and forth, you know. So no one could understand who was coming and going, who was dancing, and who was singing. You know, sometimes those of us that are sitting at home and listening to the temple on the internet, who's leading that kirtan? Is that so-and-so? No, that might be so-and-so. So the same mood is there at this Jagannath Rishra Mahotsava the following morning. No one could understand one another's language even. That's particularly prominent here in Alachua. You can walk through the assembled crowd of devotees here in Alachua and get at least three or four different languages going on. You know, you've got Hindi for sure, you've got Russian, you've got Spanish, you've got plain old English. You know, it's quite amazing. Yet all unhappiness and lamentation was immediately dissipated, and people became all jubilant. Thus, Jagannath Mishra was overwhelmed with joy. I mean, just imagine, he's finally, you know, it's not to be missed that Jagannath Mishra and Satyamata had eight daughters that all died in childbirth. And then they have a son finally, Vishwarupa, and he vanishes off to take sannyas. So they finally get this boy Vishwambar.
So just the happiness that Jagannath Mishra must have felt. And then to be able to host this Mahotsava the next day with all of these different types of participants, how happy he must have felt just to look, you know, just amazing. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur is referred to in Kavi Karnapur's Chaitanya Chandodaya as the tilak mark of the devotees, the auspicious marking. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Srivas Thakur both came to Jagannath Mishra and drew his attention in various ways. They performed the ritualistic ceremonies prescribed at the time of birth according to the religious principles. There are three or four different samskaras done at that period. And Jagannath Mishra gave all kinds of varieties of charity. Whatever riches Jagannath Mishra collected in the form of gifts and presentations, and whatever he had in his house, he distributed amongst the brahmanas, the professional singers, the dancers, the bhattas, and the poor. He honored them all by giving riches in charity. The wife of Srivas Thakur, whose name was Malini, accompanied by the wife of Chandrasekhar Acharya, excuse me, and other ladies came there in great happiness to worship the baby with paraphernalia such as vermilion, turmeric, oils, fused rice, bananas, and coconuts. One day, shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita's wife, Sita Devi, who was worshipable by the entire world, took her husband's permission and went to see that topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presents. So now at this point, we're moving on a bit, a few days after the birth, to where now different guests are coming and bringing. And we know the gifts that Sita alone, we should remember that Advaitacharya was not a poor man. There's never been a line used to describe Advaitacharya as a poor man. I mean, he had three residences that I know of, one in Shantipur, one in Navadvip, and one in Jagannath Puri. So his wife came, and it describes that she brought golden ornaments that included armlets, necklaces, anklets, and bangles. And then she brought tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed silken saris, and a child's garment also made of silk, mother and child matching. Many other riches included gold and silver coins, which were also presented to the child. So this is all the exact type of wealth and ornaments that Lord Shiva is saying in the verse should be given to Krishna. And that's exactly what's being done here. Sita Thakurani is coming and bringing all these wonderful presents, you know. Tiger's nails set in gold. When I was living in New York City many years ago, I made it a habit. I had a contact in the Diamond District that was known for his obtaining tiger's claws and mounting them in gold. And I made it a habit each year to buy a tiger's claw and give it to Radha Govinda as a present on Janmashtami. So these tiger's claws set in gold like that. But he had one particular one that he wore. It was a double tiger's claw, not claws out, but claws in, with jewels very, very heavy. And he would never sell that to me because he wore it every day. And I tried on a number of occasions. And one day he said, all right, I'll sell it for such and such, which was a price intended to dissuade me, which it was very successful at doing. So, but at any rate, yeah, these types of ornaments are offered to the Lord. So these are some of the descriptions we see here of the festival honoring Lord Vishwambar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, we can also not just think that, well, yesterday was Gorpanima, okay, that's all done. We saw the moon rise, great, okay, now we can go on the regular. But today we should also be meditating. I mean, we should meditate on the Lord every single day. But today also, this festival of Jagannath Mishra, it's noted in our calendars, it's noted in our conversations, it's mentioned in our books. And these are some of the pastimes that we can carry with it throughout the day as we remember these things. So thank you very much for this opportunity to speak on this verse about Lord Shiva's meditation on the Lord and his eschewing all luxuries and the following day ceremony honoring Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll finish there today. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jagannath Mishra Mahotsava ki jai, Vaishnava Sangha ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.